Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Supreme competition is about to begin above the rim. Finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ballin', I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the buggin', I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money, or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay, lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old, if the rep get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monstar, drop a flavor fluid, so please blow it.
Nation, welcome to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is here with you from now till 9 p.m. tonight. We got another good show for you, and Rocket is going to try his absolute hardest to kind of move on from what transpired over the weekend and just bring you the best show that he can bring to you. First off, I want to say big ups to all the comics who took the stage along with yours truly at the new Dodge Lounge late last night in Hamtramck. It was my first time performing at that venue, and it was great. Everybody did a fantastic job. Big up to the host, Esther Navarez, for doing what she's been doing. We had a lot of comics that went up there, comics including my homeboy Jeffrey Ford, Justin Sullivan, Samantha Rhaegar, Jeff Thibodeau, just so many guys. Chillian Thomas, you know, just so many guys. So big ups to all y'all. Keep doing what you're doing. And perhaps Rocket will see y'all tomorrow night in Novi at the Laugh Tracks Comedy Club. If you're in the Michigan area, please feel free to come and check it out. It's called the Rising Stars Showcase. It's what we do. It's what we do, baby. It's what we do. Also, yours truly, mark this down on your calendar. Sunday, April the 27th, yours truly will be taking place. We'll be taking stage at a comedy competition. More details will be to come as it continues to be finalized. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to put that out there. April's going to be a great month for everybody. Everybody involved in the entertainment industry. To all my Michigan peoples, all my Michigan performers, comics, actors, the whole nine. This is going to be big. It's a big time for us. So big ups once again. I also wanted to take an opportunity to send a shout out to all the fans who have supported yours truly. Thank you. Thank you. It means a whole lot. So I just wanted to put that out there. Before we get into the show, I want to say we got some birthdays that we got to put out there. And let's just be honest, you know, we just couldn't do it. You know, we couldn't start the show without doing some birthdays. Happy birthday to who I consider one of the most dangerous players to ever play a football game. That's right, Bill Romanowski, who was just a monster. Nice guy, though, but a monster. You know what I'm saying? This guy was a phenomenal, ferocious player. He left it all on the football field. Sometimes he would like to take it home with him, but, you know, you can't take away from what he did for the teams that he played for. He spent some time with the 49ers, a couple years with the Eagles, played with the Broncos, and finished his career in 2002 and 2003 with the Raiders. He is a two-time Pro Bowler, both years with Denver, 96-98. He's a UPI second team All-AFC in 96. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion, winning two with the 49ers and two with the Broncos. The last two Super Bowls that the Broncos won, by the way. And the last Super Bowl the 49ers won, because he wasn't on that team by then. But he is a two-time NFC champion, three-time AFC champion. Finished his career with 1,116 tackles, 39.5 sacks, and 18 interceptions. But if you know Bill Romanowski, you will know that he had been involved and was better known for his numerous altercations with not only teammates but his opponents. Back in 95 with the Eagles, he was ejected from the game and subsequently fined $4,500 for kicking Cardinals fullback Larry Sanders in the head. If you ever seen this play, you have to go and watch the play. If you can find it on YouTube or Vimeo or somewhere, it looks pretty bad. It looked pretty bad, kicking arguably the greatest fullback in the history of the National Football League. It was just kind of bad. And then he had two more incidents that occurred during the 97 season when he was with the Broncos. In a game against Carolina, he was fined $20,000 for a helmet-to-helmet hit on Kerry Collins, who was the quarterback of the Panthers at the time, in a preseason game, actually, which resulted in Collins sustaining a broken jaw. Also that year, in that classic Monday night matchup between the Broncos and 49ers, it was probably his most numerous altercation when he pretty much spit some saliva in the face of J.J. Stokes, wide receiver of the 49ers. It was publicly put out there. Everybody that watched the game was talking about that incident that night. So that was pretty bad. That was pretty ugly. And he's been fined numerous more times throughout his career, losing a lot of money just throwing footballs at opposing players and things like that, you know, just doing so many bad things. Off the field, he and his wife are also investigated for prescription drug fraud, though the charges were later dropped. And in a 2005 appearance on 60 Minutes, he actually admitted to using steroids and human growth hormone that he received from Victor Conti, who is known as the Balco owner. So as you can see, you know, he's done some bad things, but he also has done some good things. He's been a major contributor, very good linebacker to tackle, can hit, can play the game. He's been in movies such as Benchwarmers, The Longest Yard, Blitz the League, and appeared in Jack and Jill just a few years ago. So he's done some things, but, you know, he's, I guess you could say, he repented his sins, you know, in a way, and he's moved on with his life. He turns 48 today, so despite what most people feel about him, happy birthday to him anyway. And, you know, hopefully you won't see too many more of these incidents that are going on in the National Football League, because it's just not good. It's not good for the game. It's never been good for the game. And, you know, you would say that, you know, NFL is trying to clean up the whole situation. So that's been the thing. And, you know, happy birthday to him anyway. Happy 56th birthday to Larry Drew, who's the current head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, although that's not saying a whole lot right now. There's not been much to cheer for if you're a Milwaukee fan this year. He's actually better known throughout his playing time. Spent 11 years in the league. He was a 17th overall pick in 1980. Was drafted by the Pistons. Spent 1 year there. After then moving on to the Kansas City / Sacramento Kings. Back then they played in Kansas City back in the 80s. Before they moved over to Sacramento in the late 80s or early 90s. Also spent some time with the Clippers, played in Italy for a little while, and played on the Los Angeles Lakers from 89 to 91. He was on that 91 Lakers team that lost to the Bulls in the NBA Finals. But as a coach, speaking of the Lakers, was an assistant coach with them for 7 years. Was an assistant coach for the Pistons from 99 to 2000. Also was an assistant for the Wizards, the Nets, and the Hawks. Took over as the Hawks head coach after Mike Woodson moved on to the Knicks in 2010. Was fired last year and signed on with the Milwaukee Bucks. And it really has been much to cheer about for the Milwaukee Bucks this season. He finished his playing career with 11.4 career points per game, 1.8 career rebounds, and 5.2 career assists. His son, well, he actually has two sons who are both playing college basketball. His son, Larry Jr., is playing for North Carolina at Chapel Hill before transferring over to UCLA. And his other son, Landon, is playing for California State University. So happy birthday to those guys. Before we get into the show, we're actually going to take a quick break. We come back. We got some basketball to talk about, a little bit of college, mostly the NBA, including this specific topic that yours truly came up with tonight. So we're going to do that, and when we come back, that's what we're going to get into. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is here with you, live and in person. Ready to have a good time, you know, just enjoying life, enjoying the sports world. You know, it's always a beautiful thing, and it's an exciting time of the year. The weather is great up here in Michigan, and it's wonderful. We're taking calls all night tonight, 347-327-9586. We got a serious topic we wanted to talk about tonight regarding the NBA and the state of the NBA. And is it a complete mess? You know, is it worse now than it's ever been? And this is something we're going to be talking about throughout the night. And I wanted to get off into the show a little bit by talking how disgusted I felt after the weekend was over. First of all, I was so happy. Nobody would probably be more happy than Rocket when the MLB season kicked back off, because I got a chance to watch the Dodgers. They won yesterday and they won today. Well, actually, they won on Monday, I'm sorry, and they won today. Both games were decided by one run. I'm going to get into those games a little bit later on in the show. So I was happy. I needed something to take my mind off of what happened with Michigan and Michigan State over the weekend. First of all, congratulations to all the teams that have moved on into the Final Four, which will take place this upcoming week, later on this week, I should say. Those teams are Wisconsin, the only team left in the Big Ten. I was hoping it'd be at least two. Three would have been really, really incredible. So you got Wisconsin, you got Florida, Kentucky, and yeah, UConn. Michigan State lost to UConn this past Sunday, and later on in the day, Michigan lost to Kentucky. I got to give props to Duke. Julius Randle is really, really good. Really, really good. But I'm more upset at those players from both teams. You know, guys like Adrian Payne, who didn't necessarily play as great as he should have played. I'm just upset the fact that Michigan State was turning the ball over. They weren't making a lot of their shots. Michigan, their problem was not playing great defense and not getting a lot of rebounds. So as a result, both teams are now going to be watching the rest of the tournament. And hopefully they'll learn. You know, take a page out of the Tigers' book. The Tigers were overcoming adversity, especially in the opening game during the regular season when they were down by two runs, and they came back and won the game. Take a page out of their book. I know he's a college kid. I know that they're young and they still have a lot to learn, but expectations were high, especially on Michigan State. I picked them to go all the way and win. I picked Michigan and Michigan State to championship. Now I got to wait until next year. Dang. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, congratulations to those other teams that advanced and that moved on. Guys like Adrian Payne is going to be entering the NBA draft, and all the other players are going to be entering the upcoming draft this year. Make sure you know what you're doing, especially all you freshmen, you sophomores out there that feel like you're ready. You know, make sure this is what you want to do, because the NBA, that's where the big dogs are right now. That's always been the case, and it's always going to be the case later on. So I'll just say, you know, go with your feelings, go with your gut, but make sure it's the right call. Make sure you know what you're getting into, because it's no easy situation. It's no walk in the park. Not going to be smoke and mirrors, I can tell you that right now. So, you know, make sure you know what you're doing and what you're getting into. But good luck to all those upcoming players that are going to be entering this year's upcoming draft. And best wishes to your careers, because every single one of you is going to need it. All of you that are looking to jump ship, especially the freshmen and the sophomores, even the juniors, that some people should say, hey, maybe they might want to consider coming back instead of foregoing their senior years or whatever other years that they have left on their college resume. You know, in a sense. But as I was watching the broadcast, I was watching, you know, the pregame and the halftime shows, and something really, really hit me. I was listening to what Charles Barkley said, and this is what made me come up with this topic. Charles Barkley really hit the nail on the head. I'm going to be the first to say I hadn't always agreed with everything he said. I'm not even his biggest fan. I've always respected his game as a player, but what he said made the most sense, and it's the most sense he ever made to me, when he said the NBA is worse now than it's ever been. I could not agree with him more. I think the NBA really took a hit when former official Tim Donaghy was busted back in 2007 for apparently betting on games and betting on a lot of the games that he was calling, favoring certain teams that guys that were involved with the mafia, guys that he had connections to, were betting on games, and it was up to him to get the calls and to make sure that that team that was betted on would end up winning. And I felt kind of bad because one of those teams was the Lakers, and I'm a big Lakers fan. And that was the 2002 Western Conference Finals against Sacramento, Game 7. People still talk about that today, especially people on the West Coast. People still talk about that, saying that it's one of the more controversial and the most controversial Game 7 in the history of an NBA playoffs or an NBA Finals matchup. Just kind of seeing how things were going in that game. And I did kind of feel like the Lakers were favored a little bit. But I didn't think about it at the time. I was like, hey, you know, I was a whole lot younger. I was like, look, they won, okay? They won the game. Take it like a man, Sacramento, and move on. Come back next year strong. But when I found out about this situation with Tim Donaghy, I couldn't believe it. Like, you know what? And it got me to thinking, he's not the only one in on this. He couldn't possibly be. And so I look at officials like Dick Pavetta, Joey Crawford. Those guys are two of the more shady officials ever. Seriously. Those guys are, they're not the cream of the crop as far as officiating goes, you know, the way that I look at it. And I think that another reason why the NBA took a hit is you got a lot of players that are making these big-time contracts, getting these big-time endorsements, and you got a lot of these rules where certain players are getting calls their way. Then you got a lot of flopping going around. You got a lot of coaches that are getting benefits of wins, certain coaches getting benefits of losses. And I think that's bad. This is another reason why I've been despised for the Miami Heat. Because I feel like guys like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh get calls on them, get calls their way all the time. That hasn't always been the case with a lot of other players. And then I look at David Stern, and I'm like, you know what? He cares about ratings. He does. He does. To me, he only cares about money and ratings, and I could not be more happy that he's gone. I wasn't going to throw no victory parade for him or, you know, I wasn't going to throw out the red carpet for him, you know. I look at it like, you know what, I'm glad he's gone, you know. It's a done situation. And, you know, I look at, I go back to, and this is something I've noticed. Since 2006, every team that has participated in the NBA Finals has had one or two star players, whether they played for the same team or whether they were opposing teams. Okay, let's think about this for a second. Let's kind of rewind the clocks back a little bit. Go back to 2005, between the finals matchup between Pistons and Spurs. Let's just kind of go back to that a little bit. Okay. It was one of the more competitive finals matchups I've ever watched. Of course, I was hurt, disappointed that the Pistons came up short. But it was a good finals matchup against two of the better coaches in this era and two of the better coaches ever, with Larry Brown and Greg Popovich. And both teams had some good players. Great players, I should say. You had, with the Pistons, you had Ben Wallace, G. Wallace, Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, all those guys, all-stars, Tayshaun Prince, a major contributor, you know, during their championship runs and their playoff runs for so many years. guys like Antonio McDyess coming off the bench, Lindsey Hunter coming off the bench, being a contributing force. Then for the Spurs, you had guys like Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Brent Berry, a veteran, Robert Horry, who was always known as Mr. Clutch. It always was making those clutch shots, you know. No matter what team he played for, he always came through. To me, I look at the broadcast rating. Game 3 had a Nielsen rating percentage of only 7.2%. That's 32% lower than the average of the first three 2004 NBA Finals games between the Pistons and the Lakers. All seven games were the top-rated shows of their night. The average viewership of the 2005 Finals was 11.5 million viewers, 7.6 rating / 14 share. That decreased from the average of the 2004 Finals, which was 18 million. And in 2003 was 9.8 million viewers. But I have to say, and this is what bothers me so much about the whole situation, is I look back at it, and I figured, you know, I'm thinking, if I'm David Stern, I got to think, you know what? I want our league and our company to be the most watched in the world. And he was determined to do something about it. So I think some steadiness was going on as far as reaching out to these officials to make sure that certain teams and certain players would get to the finals. After that, the following year, Miami versus Dallas, the first of the two finals matchups. You had Shaq, you had Dwayne Wade, going up against guys like Dirk Nowitzki. But Dallas, no matter, and it didn't really matter who won, but they were determined to make sure that you was going to get to see, you know, some of the main players. It was like they didn't want to see custom team basketball anymore, like the Pistons team, the Spurs team. They didn't want to see that. They didn't want to see that. And every year, it's been like that. 2007, LeBron James against San Antonio. They wanted to see LeBron get into the finals. And to get through Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals, I felt like LeBron was getting a lot going his way. And so was everybody on that Cleveland team. And it really bothered me. And in 2008, you had the Lakers and Celtics. The whole world wanted to see that. I would have been happy seeing Detroit in L.A., though. But everybody wanted to see Boston. Yeah, Boston, their victory. Garnett, Pierce, and Allen against Kobe, Gasol. And in 2009, it was Kobe versus Dwight Howard. 2010, Lakers Celtics rematch in the finals once again. 2011, Miami, with their revamped and juiced up roster, their victory against Dallas again, with Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Kidd and Tyson Chandler, guys like them. And in 2012, LeBron versus Durant. What more do you need to know? And last year, Miami versus San Antonio. What more do you need to know? So the bottom line is, you're going to always see from now on, unless Adam Silver steps up and does something about it, you're always going to see big name players in the finals, whether they deserve to get there or not. I always feel like the best team should be in the finals, not the best player. Michael Jordan was the greatest player in the history of the NBA, but he had a consummate team, a great coach, great system, and that's why they were able to get there. It wasn't just necessarily Michael Jordan. Guys like Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, who was probably the most hated player in the NBA during that era. And then they had other contributing players, Tony Kukoc, Ron Harper, Steve Kerr, Luke Longley, I mean, John Paxson, Judd Bushler. I mean, they always had contributing players, whether they were starters or they came off the bench. The bottom line is that they were the best team. They were the best team of that decade, by far. And I feel like, you know what, they deserve to be in the finals. They deserve to win those finals that they did. It wasn't just Michael Jordan, okay? But now you're seeing a lot of players flopping, trying to get context, trying to get calls their way. Players doing a lot of complaining and things like that. It's making me sick. It's just making me sick, you know? And we're going to be talking about this throughout the night. So strap on your seatbelt, because it's going to get serious a little bit. We're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some MLB. The season kicked off on Monday. My Tigers are 2-0. Just want to put that out there. And we got some NBA games in progress, some NHL games. And we got to talk a little bit of NFL because the whole Deshaun Jackson thing has been blowing up. So I got to talk about that a little bit too. The time is 7:30. We're going to be on air till 9 p.m. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is 7:40. We got an hour and 20 minutes left of airtime. Like I said earlier, before we took that last break, the MLB season kicked off on Monday. I want to give a special shout-out to my Detroit Tigers for being 2-0, winning both games in dramatic fashion, including today. They beat the KC Royals 2-1. Ian Kinsler came through. The Tigers only had 6 hits, but he was responsible for 3 of them. He had a solo home run shot in 4th inning, and then after Kansas City tied up the game at 1 apiece in the 9th inning, in the 10th inning, he came through and provided the game-winning run, and it was beautiful. Now, unfortunately, Justin Verlander pitched the season opener. He didn't get a decision because the team was losing, and then they came back to win, so he didn't get the decision in that one. Max Scherzer played phenomenal today. He pitched 7 innings, recorded 8 strikeouts, but did not get the decision because of that tied run in the 9th inning, unfortunately. Instead, Al Albuquerque got the win for the team. He's 1-0. Tim Collins got the loss for Kansas City. He's 0-1. Also earlier today, my second favorite baseball team, the Atlanta Braves, defeated the Milwaukee Brewers 1-0. Aaron Harain got the victory, and that one, Craig Kimbrell got his second save already this season, getting up to a fast start he is. The man responsible for the hit by the Atlanta Braves, or the run, I should say, was third baseman Chris Johnson. He homered deep to left center in the top of the 7th inning, and the Braves held on to win. So this was mostly a competitive, very, very competitive game. Johnson finished that game going 1-for-4 at bat, providing that RB, that run, and that was it. That's all he needed. And the Braves have won once again. We also had a game between the Cleveland Indians and the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's won 6-1. It looks like it's the first of a doubleheader because these two teams are getting ready to play again tonight at 9 p.m., which is kind of interesting. Very interesting. The Oakland A's won 6-1 earlier today. Scott Kazmir got the victory for for Oakland. And he got it against his former team. How about that? Against his former team. How about that? Jason Kipnis for Cleveland went 2-4. He was the only guy that really did anything for Cleveland, providing their only run, which is actually at the top of the 9th inning to prevent a shutout. But anyway, for Oakland, Jed Lowry went 2-for-3 at bat, provided the run. Brandon Moss 2-for-4. Alberto Colasco 2-for-4. Derek Norris, he went 3-for-4. Colasco provided 2 runs, including a home run shot in the bottom of the 3rd inning. And the Oakland A's, they won. They win. Both teams are 1-1 right now, and it looks like they're getting ready to play each other again tonight. Looks like they got a doubleheader. That's interesting. And then it's actually going to be the second of their 4 game series matchup. The game on Tuesday was postponed, so that's why you got the doubleheader tonight. So actually, it's really a 3-game series. I should say my apologies on that. So big ups to them in that situation. And you know, this is one thing about baseball: these games just be coming through. They be coming out of the woodwork and everything. Those games were the ones that were final. Right now, we have, just to give you a quick update, the Boston Red Sox are up 2-0 over the Baltimore Orioles. That game is in the middle of the 3rd inning. We also have, let another game. And like I said, I'm just kind of checking these scores out as we go along here. The Washington Nationals are down in New York, losing to the Mets 1-0. Toronto and Tampa Bay are scoreless. Those two games are in the third inning. We got the Colorado Rockies up on the Miami Marlins 3-1. That's in the second inning. And the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates are scoreless in the second inning. But Pittsburgh has a couple runners on, so we'll see how that turns out for them and how the rest of that game plays out. Later on tonight, like I said, we got the game between Cleveland and Oakland at 9 p.m., the game, the makeup game, I should say. Seattle and the L.A. Angels, that game will be on at 10:05. St. Louis and Cincinnati, that game is currently being delayed right now. Not for sure if that game is going to take place at all tonight or not. Philadelphia and Texas, that game will take place at 8:05 p.m. You can catch that game on ESPN2. The Yankees and the Astros, that game will take place at 8:10 p.m. The Dodgers and the Padres, 10:10 p.m. That will be the late game. And another late game is the San Francisco Giants against the Arizona D-backs. That game will take place at 9:40 p.m. We also have one other game to pass on that took place earlier today. The Minnesota Twins losing in Chicago to the White Sox by a score of 7-6. That game took place in 11 innings. The Twins got on board first, but the Chicago Cubs pretty much took control into the seventh inning when Minnesota regained the lead. They went up two runs, and in the bottom of the eighth inning, Adam Dunn for Chicago homered deep to right center to put the game within one. And in the top of the ninth inning, Minnesota responded with a Kurt Suzuki double to shallow right, which scored Trevor Plouffe. And in the ninth inning, which got really, really competitive, Chicago tied up the game on a couple of hits by Lurie Garcia and Adam Eaton, which provided some runs, scored by Adrian Nieto and Dan Vicieto, if I even pronounced those names right. My apologies if I didn't. The game ended up going into a 10th inning. Neither team could do anything. And then in the 11th inning, Adam Dunn had walked, and that led to a Jose Abreu to second, and Lurie Garcia scored on a wild pitch. And the Chicago Cubs went on to win the game. Ronald Belisario got the victory. Samuel Didano got the loss. But it was a very competitive game. And if you're a true baseball fan, this is the most exciting time of the year for you. This is what you love. This is what you've been looking forward to for quite some time now. Expectations are going to be high on these teams. I'm just going to go out on record, and I'm going to pick the same World Series matchup I picked last year. I'm going with Tigers and Braves again for the 2014 World Series. You heard it from me, and you're going to continue to hear it from me, whether it's on Facebook, in person. That's the way it's going to be, okay? Those are my two favorite teams, but I like what both teams are doing so far right now this season, especially the Tigers getting out to a 2-0 start, which is big right now. These games are only going to be more competitive and more serious as everything goes along, so let's get it. Let's get it, y'all. Let's get it. Okay. To the NBA. Right now, we got some games that are providing right now. We've got some games that are happening right now in the NBA, I gotta say. No games that are final. There's a bunch of games that are currently happening right now. Right now, we've got the Brooklyn Nets losing. They're losing badly at the Madison Square Garden to their arch rival Knicks. 37-22, that game is in the second quarter. You can also catch that game on ESPN. Multitask. Watch that game and listen to the Rocket Sports Breakdown as you're doing so. This is a game that the Knicks are trying to win desperately. They're only a game back at the Atlanta Hawks, that final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, so it's go time for them. Speaking of the Hawks, they're currently beating the Chicago Bulls at home 13-9 against the first quarter. Atlanta's trying to hold on for dear life. They've been losing a lot of games since the beginning of the year. They'll be, if they hang on, they could either take on Miami or Indiana in the first round. Speaking of Miami, they are currently beating Milwaukee Bucks at home 11-7. That game just started in the first quarter. Indiana, they're currently up on my Detroit Pistons 31-30. That game's in the second quarter. Charlotte is pounding Philadelphia 42-24 in the second quarter. Houston is currently leading up on Toronto 36-33. That game's in the second quarter. Cleveland is up on Orlando 47-39. 51-42 now in the second quarter. And Boston is down, losing to Washington 39-26 in the second quarter. Coming up later on tonight, we got Golden State taking on San Antonio. That game will take, the time for that game will be at 8:30. Memphis and Minnesota, that game will be on at 8 p.m. We also have the New Orleans Pelicans against the Denver Nuggets at 9 p.m. And at 10 p.m., we got two games involving both L.A. teams, the Lakers on the road against Sacramento, and the Clippers on the road against Phoenix. Those two games will take place at 10 p.m. And I just want to take a quick look at the standings right now, because everyone knows that the Pacers and the Heat are currently tied for first place right now. Technically, Miami has to nod because they've won three straight. And the Pacers have lost three straight. Even though the Pacers have already beaten Miami two or three times, basically the home team won all the matchups so far this season. These two teams will be playing each other later on this month before the season is over. That game will take place in South Beach. A lot of people are going to be checking that game out, including me, but that game could have a lot written on it. Toronto is doing wonderful so far this season. They're 10 games over 500. It's the best they've looked in a long time since going back to Vince Carter days and the Chris Bosh days when early in his career. Chicago is up there, and even though Brooklyn is losing right now, they're playing a whole lot better. They're actually on a current three-game winning streak. Chicago Bulls have won two straight. The Knicks have won two straight. They're right behind Atlanta for that eighth spot. Charlotte, they're a couple games in the 500, but they're trying to get back to winning a little bit. Washington, they're hanging on to their playoff spot for dear life. And Cleveland, they're only three games back of Atlanta, and Detroit is 5.5. I don't think they're going to catch them. In fact, as a Pistons fan, I hope they don't. I think the roster, other than Andre Drummond, they need to be retooled a little bit. And I'm just going to put that out there. That's how I feel about the whole situation. And I'm going to stick with that story until I see some changes. Bottom line. Also, in the Western Conference, we got San Antonio has won 18 straight, y'all. And I got to say, you can tell they're angry. You can tell they're pissed off. And they have every right to feel that way. They know they should have won the trophy last year. They know that. Everybody, the fans, the players, the coaches, front office, everybody. They let it slip away because of a crucial missed free throw by Kawhi Leonard and a crucial missed free throw by Manu Ginobili, which allowed Ray Allen to hit a game-tying three in game six. And you could tell the Spurs were completely devastated. They kind of looked out of sync a little bit in game seven. But they are poised to get back there and win it all. Very poised. And they got OKC 3.5 behind them. I'm not so sure OKC's going to catch San Antonio for the number one seed. But you cannot deny OKC a chance to go back to the finals as they did 2 years ago. The Clippers, a lot of expectations, a lot of talk about them getting to the finals. They've won three straight. OKC's won two straight. But the Clippers, basically, they're playing great basketball right now. And they are a team that has to be reckoned with. The Houston Rockets, they've lost two straight, but you can't really ignore them. Portland, they've won four in a row. They're a young team right now. They might be the least experienced out of those top five teams in the West, but they're tough. They're tough, and any team that goes against them in the playoffs, not going to be an easy uphill battle. Golden State, they're getting up there. Stephen Curry, I got to give props to Stephen Curry for hitting that enormous game-winning shot against the Dallas Mavericks last night, which allowed the Warriors to win that game. Speaking of the Dallas Mavericks, that's a game that you really shouldn't lose. They're basically fighting with Memphis and Phoenix for two. Basically, you got three teams competing for the final two spots in the Western Conference postseason. And if the playoffs were to start today, Dallas would be the team on the outside looking in. I want Phoenix to get in because I feel like Jeff Hornacek should be the coach of the year. He's doing a phenomenal job with this young team. And they're playing like the Phoenix Suns that we see with the Steve Nashes and the Amari Stoudemires and the Sean Marions back when they had those guys on the team when Mike D'Antoni was coaching them. I'm kind of hoping that Memphis doesn't get in because what they did to Lionel Hollins last year, not giving him a contract extension, not even offering him a contract to come back, that's a slap in the face and a major insult to the guy. That ticked me off. And I'm thinking, you know what? As a Pistons fan, I really hope that they go after Lionel Hollins in the offseason to give him the job. It would be perfect for this team. You could get those guys into better shape and a winning culture. He took the Memphis Grizzlies last year to a place they had never been, the Western Conference Finals. Sure, they got swept by San Antonio, but they got there for the first time in franchise history. And he was mainly responsible for that. And you're not going to give the guy a contract? What kind of mess is that? That really ticks me off right there. I don't care what his race or his ethnic background is, but you don't do that to a coach. That's terrible when a coach does something like that for you, giving you blood, sweat, and tears, getting the players to abide by the system and playing better. That really ticks me off. So I really hope that Memphis doesn't make the playoffs. In fact, I'm going to be pulling against them the rest of this season. Okay? But those are the games that are currently in progress. We'll continue to update as the night continues. We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we got some NHL scores to update. We have some games that are going on in the NHL right now. And I want to talk a little bit about this whole Deshaun Jackson situation. And we're going to be talking more about the NBA as it continues. Is it the worst it's ever been? I say hell yeah. Definitely. Well, more of that is coming up. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown here on blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is 8 o'clock. We got one more hour left of airtime. We're taking calls at 347-327-9586. And before we further the talk with the whole NBA situation, I wanted to, before I get into the Deshaun Jackson situation, we got one NHL game that is currently in progress right now. We got the New York Islanders. They are up 1-0 over the Ottawa Senators. That's the end of the first period, so the second period is just getting ready to get started. The Boston Bruins and the Detroit Red Wings are getting ready to tip off right about now, I'd say in the next few minutes. Later on tonight at 10 o'clock, we got Edmonton and Anaheim, and at 10:30, we got Phoenix and the Los Angeles Kings. So we got one game that's in progress. We got another game that's getting ready to be in progress. We got two more that'll be coming up later on tonight before this night is over. Real quickly, just want to take a look at the NHL standings right now. Basically, these are all the teams that have basically clinched playoff spots. Well, the Boston Bruins, it looks like they have clinched the Atlantic Division. Tampa Bay and Montreal, they are currently in the postseason. Pittsburgh, they have clinched a playoff berth. So that's four teams right now that have clinched the playoff spots, in the Eastern Conference in the NHL. So right now, you got four more spots that are open. Detroit wins tonight. They need to win tonight to get one. The New York Rangers, they need to win to continue winning. You also got Toronto. Toronto, they're trying to get up in there. Columbus, Washington, New Jersey, those teams are still trying to fight for their playoff lives, including other teams like Carolina as well and Ottawa. So this is going to be a big race down the stretch. In the Western Conference, you got St. Louis, Colorado, Chicago. Those three teams in the Central Division, those three teams that clinch. And then in a specific division, you got Anaheim and San Jose. You got three spots that are left. And it looks like you can write in the L.A. Kings, maybe Minnesota, and it could possibly come down to either Dallas or Phoenix for that final spot in a specific division. So the race is heating up. The race is heating up, and this is crunch time. This is crunch time for just about everybody. So the Red Wings have 1-2 straight. They're in control of their own destiny right now, as they should be. They need to continue winning as far as trying to get a wild card spot. And in the Western Conference, Minnesota has 1-2 straight, and the Dallas Stars have 1-3 straight. And those two teams are currently trying to get those other playoff spots that are in the Western Conference, the ones that haven't been officially clinched yet. So, but good luck to all the teams down the stretch. The season is almost over. The regular season is almost over. Most of these teams have already played 75, 76, 77 games. So nobody has played more than 77 so far, and nobody's played less than 75. So you got 5 to 7 regular season games left. So basically that's about two and a half weeks left of the NHL regular season. So it's crunch time. It is crunch time. So, may the best team win. May the best team get in, and may the best team be in control of their own destiny. And you know who I'm pulling for. I don't even need to draw you a picture. You know, that's how I feel. So, now moving on into the NFL. This topic has been discussed an awful lot. They've been talking about it on ESPN, they talked about it on Fox, and they talked about it on the NFL Network. It's just such a serious situation, and it's a bad thing. But first, before I get into that, again, sorry to keep y'all second guessing. We do have some NFL news to pass along. The Jets are still continuing to make some moves in the free agency. They signed another wide receiver. Jacoby Ford, former Oakland Raider. He saw limited action last year for Oakland, catching only just 13 passes, but he was more of a special teams guy. He was used more on punt and kickoff returns, as well as coverages. The Jets, they already got Eric Decker now, so now you bring in a quick, fast guy like Jacoby Ford, who's a fourth-round draft pick in 2010 coming out of Clemson. And four seasons, he has 57 catches and just three touchdowns, but he is a quick guy. He can run. He's a guy that's going to probably play more special teams duties with this team now that he's an official New York Jet. And also, the Jets have signed cornerback Dimitri Patterson. He played the last two seasons with Miami. Only played in six seasons last year, but he did record four interceptions for the team. So the Jets are making offense and defensive moves. And they already got Michael Vick, most likely be the backup quarterback to Geno Smith. So the Jets, they're trying to do some things. They're actually attracting a lot of players right now, so that's good. They're going to need to do more than that if they expect to win their next Super Bowl. They ain't won one since 1969. And that is still being talked about as one of the biggest upsets in Super Bowl history. It's certainly a top five as far as the Super Bowl. That Super Bowl victory changed the landscape of the NFL-AFL rivalry when the two companies decided to merge to become the ultimate NFL, and you have seen what it's been like since. Also, we have more NFL news to pass along real quickly. The Broncos, they did lose maybe a few pieces. They did lose Eric Decker. They lost Sean Marino, but they were able to keep at least another guy, but one of their big-name players last year. Cornerback Chris Harris Jr. has signed the free agent tender to stay put in Denver. And even though he dealt with a torn ACL that sidelined him for the Super Bowl, and you know he might end up losing some money out of that next season, he was their most versatile cornerback, and he signed his one-year restricted free agent tender that will keep him in the Broncos uniform for at least one more season, and it will pay him about $2 million. About $2 million next season. And he's happy to be with the team. And he's going to be one of those major contributing factors for the Broncos to try and get back to the Super Bowl next season to represent the AFC once again, which I think they will, because I like them already based off of everything they've done so far this season. And just having that chip on their shoulder saying, you know what, we need to get back there, and this time we need to finish the race. Not just lose at the halfway point or lose right when they pull the trigger and they shoot. You need to get back there and finish the journey. And I think they will. And, you know, they're making steps in the right direction already. The Rams have made a move. They signed wide receiver Kenny Britt from the Titans. Kenny Britt has been battling injuries, you know, a lot over the years. But you can't deny what he has meant to the team. Him and Jeff Fisher, they shared some time together with the Titans before Jeff Fisher was eventually departed from the team and took a year off of coaching. So basically now he's going to reunite with his former coach. And Kenny Britt is a guy that when he's healthy, he can be one of the more dangerous receivers in the game. The guy can be explosive. The guy can be lethal. He can go out there and do some things. But he has to stay healthy. That's been the thing. That has been the thing, is staying healthy with the organization. But, you know, like I said, when he's out there on the field, he can make some things. And the Rams, they desperately need some help on the in the wide receiver department. They drafted Tavon Austin last year, but they're going to need more than that. You know, they're going to need a veteran receiver, a guy that, you know, whether he's fully healthy or inconsistently healthy, you know, he has shown that he can be a leader, a guy that can go out there and do some things. He's had some off-the-field issues, but I think playing for Jeff Fisher will get his head on straight, and, you know, he'll get back to doing what he's supposed to do. So, so that's a big pickup for the Rams. The Dolphins, once again, the Dolphins pick another Detroit Lion away. They took Louis Delmas for a year. Now they have taken Jason Fox. He's actually, ironically, a former Miami Hurricane playing at the University of Miami, Florida. He signed a 1-year contract today with the organization. He just had a lot. You talk about another guy that's been beat up a lot over the years. He's been a guy that's been beat up a lot with the Detroit Lions. I don't even know if he's ever played a full season with the team. And he hasn't. He has yet to play a full 16-game season in the NFL. And that's unfortunate because the guy is, he's a solid offensive tackle, 6'6", 314 pounds. And the Dolphins have already made some moves in the offensive line, bringing in Brandon Brown for the Kansas City Chiefs. One of their problems last year was on the offensive side of the ball. They were ranked 27th in the league overall. And that's an issue when you consider that they have some talented guys. And before last year, during last year's offseason, a lot of people said, this Dolphins team, they might make the playoffs. They might challenge the Patriots. Well, they split both regular season meetings last year, but at the end, they were eliminated from the playoff race because they lost games that they shouldn't have lost down the stretch. And plus that whole Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin situation, I don't believe in karma, but I feel like karma played a lot into that, which explains the downfall of the Miami Dolphins the final month or two of the season. So, you know, I guess you could say that this is an okay signing, but Jason Fox has yet to show that he can play, you know, that he can start, let alone play a full 16-game season. He's a fourth-round pick by the Lions back in 2010. You know, he started 47 straight games in college, but he's had some bad luck since coming into the NFL. So hopefully a change in scenery might do him some good. For his sake, I certainly hope so. The Steelers signed wide receiver Darius Heyward-Bates to a 1-year deal. He caught 29 passes for 307 yards and a touchdown in 11 games last season with Indianapolis. Spent his first 4 seasons with Oakland. He caught 140 passes for over 2,000 yards and 11 touchdowns in 56 games before being cut last year. He's 27 years old, and they need a spark as far as their wide receiver position. There came a time when the Steelers had the best wide receiver depth in the NFL. Guys like Hines Ward, Antoine Randall-Leal, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, and they still got a few of those guys, but they're lacking some explosiveness on the offensive side of the ball. And Darius Heyward-Bates is an explosive player. And I think this is something that Ben Roethlisberger needs, and it's something that their offense could use. So with that being said, I think if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you might want to focus a little bit more on offense in this year's draft. Give Ben Roethlisberger some weapons. Give the guy something. I mean, help Big Ben out. You know, because Big Ben has been beat up a lot these last few years. And you're going to need some sort of, you know, some sort of insurance policy if you want this guy to be, you know, continuing to be your guy going forward. He's been in the league for about 10 years now, and this is where, you know, some people think, well, maybe we should draft a young quarterback, you know, to relieve pressure off the guys for the near future. But the best way to help a quarterback out is by getting him some weapons, and I think the Steelers need more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. And this is a good step in the right direction for them. So Darius Heyward-Bates will be there for 1 year. And, you know, I think he'll help them out. I think he'll help them out on offense, maybe the special teams as well. You know, who knows what they decide to do with the guy. But it's going to come down to the play of Ben Roethlisberger, him being able to stay healthy, and just all those other guys being able to stay healthy, the guys that they still have on their roster, especially some of their veteran defensive players. So it's going to come down to a whole lot. And the Giants have signed former Broncos defensive end Robert Ayers. He's a 13th veteran the team has signed since free agency started. He had a career-high 5.5 sacks last season. He was a 2009 first-round draft choice coming out of the University of Tennessee, and he's actually a New Jersey native. He's the fourth participant from the Super Bowl this year and the third from the Broncos to join the Giants. The Giants also acquired Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and Trenton Holiday, and they also took Walter Thurman, the quarterback from Seattle, on the team as well. Yeah, a couple big losses by the Broncos, but to me, those guys can be replaced. So I'm not too worried. As a Broncos fan, I'm not too worried about those guys being gone. Walter Thurman, though, that's a big loss for Seattle. That's a big loss. And it's bad enough that the Seahawks have already lost a lot of players so far. After winning the Super Bowl since the Patriots appeared started. Like I said, they're going to end up just like the Ravens did last year. You're going to lose two-thirds of your roster as far as guys that were free agents, whether they were restricted or unrestricted, and they ended up moving on to other teams. And that was it. Maybe a few retired, but that's it. So if the Seahawks are not careful, they're going to end up just like that. Now, they still got some guys, don't get me wrong, but losing guys like Walter Thurman, Golden Tate, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt an awful lot. That means it's going to be up to the other guys to step their games up and go even further. So I think the Giants, they're trying to make some moves now so they can keep Tom Coughlin as their head coach. He's won 2 Super Bowls within 5 years. He's actually won 2 in the last 6. So since 2008, beating the Patriots twice, including that first one, which is a dramatic upset, arguably the biggest upset, including the Jets over the Colts in Super Bowl III. But the bottom line is they want to keep Tom Coughlin as their head coach. And I feel like they haven't been in the playoffs since they won their last Super Bowl 2 years ago. So the bottom line is, if you want to keep the coach, everybody, including the quarterback, running back, receivers, everybody in the Giants uniform is going to have to step their game up and what will be, to me, a much more competitive NFC East. I think it's going to be extremely competitive. But if the Giants don't do anything this year, then you might want to consider cutting Tom Coughlin. You just might want to consider doing it. I don't think you should, but I think it's going to come down to that. That's what I think it's going to come down to. And like I said, the NFC East is going to be extremely competitive. It's going to go down. Seriously. It's going to go down. Once again, the NFC East is going to go down. It's going to be real serious. Speaking of the NFC East, finally, I know some of y'all have been kind of looking forward to hearing Rocket talk about this, but everybody knows about what went down with DeSean Jackson as far as being cut from the Eagles and then being signed by the Redskins, a team he spent a lot of time talking to from his first flight out. Spent about 2 or 3 days talking. They finally nailed the contract. So it's official. He's a Washington Redskin. But the situation was kind of bittersweet a little bit. First of all, the Eagles lose him. The Redskins pick him up. And I don't know if y'all saw this, but if you go back to last year's Monday night game, DeSean Jackson and Skins quarterback, now their current teammates, but D'Angelo Hall kind of got into a little altercation on the field, and DeSean Jackson kind of responded by throwing what looked like a gang sign at him. This is what's been leading to him being cut by the Eagles because of the whole speculation about him being tied to gang members out along the West Coast. So, to me, I think it's kind of bad that they're willing to cut him without sitting down with the guy and just discussing the situation and finding out what can happen or what could go down and what needs to be, improved. What can you guys do to rectify the situation instead of just blatantly cutting him? I can understand if he's arrested or if he's in a situation like Aaron Hernandez being linked to killing somebody and you're automatically cutting him. That's different. But all I've been hearing has just been talk about him being connected to gang members and not necessarily being in the gang himself. But I'll tell you this, though. I can almost guarantee you he's not the first NFL player, and he probably won't be the last as far as being tied to gang members. I just don't think that it's the right thing to do as far as just automatically cutting guys. The first thing you want to do is you want to find out from him. You want to find out everything. Get all your collective amount of information and just talk with the guy. That's what I think you should do. But the Eagles decided to make moves. To me, what was so bittersweet about it was head coach Chip Kelly told him that, he still has a place here in Philadelphia. And that he was basically telling him he wasn't going to be traded, he wasn't going to be cut. But that's the business. Coaches and general managers will tell players that they're not going to be cut or or traded or released, and they end up being cut, you know, or traded. So I just think that is kind of a bittersweet situation. And now that DeSean Jackson is with the Redskins, rest assured, he's looking forward to facing Philly twice this upcoming season. He's looking forward to going up against his former team. I think another reason, I'm just going to put this out, I think another reason why the Eagles decided to part ways with him is because they got a lot of weapons on their team. They got Jeremy Maclin back. They got Jason Avant back. They got Riley Cooper. Say what you want about him. He's come on strong since those remarks he made last year. Now you got Darren Sproles. You still got LeSean McCoy. Brent Celek, I believe you still got him. So they got some pieces. Nick Foles is going to have a lot to work with this upcoming year. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's getting these opportunities. So the way that I look at it is, it's good for him. It's good for him. And I also think that he's going to go to a team where he could be more of a contributing factor. So you basically got, as far as your top two wideouts, you got DeSean Jackson now with Pierre Garçon. Give another option for RG3 to work with. I think that's going to open things up a little bit for the Redskins and make the offense a little bit more explosive. And even their special teams as well, because he's a special teams threat too. So I'm happy that DeSean Jackson has got an opportunity now where he's going to, to me, he's going to be more of a threat. He's going to get more balls thrown his way, as opposed to still playing in Philadelphia where they're going to spread the ball around and get a lot of different guys involved. Now he's going to be more of a focal point in the offense along with Pierre Garçon, and he's going to take pressure off him. They're both going to take pressure off each other, and I think that's something that's going to help out the team in the long run. Like I said, the NFC East is already going to be extremely competitive, because it always is, between, you know, if not all four of the teams, but at least three of them. But I think with the moves that the Giants have made, I think with what the Redskins are doing a little bit right now, with the Eagles, I think those three teams should definitely be in the loop as far as who's going to come out of the division next year. I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do. I think losing DeMarcus Ware is going to hurt them in the long run. You don't want to lose any defensive players, all right? Your defense was as horrible as it could have gotten ever out of every defensive team in the history of the league. It didn't get any worse than the Cowboys last year, maybe the Saints the year before because of the milestones that they set, you know, the record and most yards that they gave up. But the bottom line is that I don't see the Cowboys doing a whole lot in free agency right now. And that's because they don't have a lot of money to work with, unfortunately. And that's going to hurt them going forward a little bit. But they still got some talent. They still got productive players. I expect them to always be competitive. But what's going to happen in November and December? Mainly December, where, you know, those final four or five games that you're trying to win, to either win a division, get a number one seed in the playoffs, or even just make the playoffs altogether. You know, this is where Tony Romo comes into play. And you got that situation going on as far as, you know, trying to assert yourself as a division runner to come out on top in your division. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that division's going to turn out now. You know, with some of the players that are with those teams and no longer there, the newly acquired players from other teams, I'm looking forward to it. That's, to me, that NFC East is always competitive because, you know, some of those rivalries are long-lasting. A lot of history between those four teams. So it's always something to keep your eyes and ears on the lookout for, because this is what it is. It's what makes the NFL the NFL. But I also think that it's going to be wide open. I just think that the NFL is going to be completely wide open as far as getting back to Super Bowl, because I don't expect Seattle to get back in repeat. Just the players that they've lost, you know, and they've already lost quite a handful. So I think that's something that is going to – something that's going to be talked about, you know, something that's going to be in the back of the minds of a lot of these NFL personnels and things of that nature. So that's something that you have to take into consideration. So, but again, I'm happy that DeSean Jackson is going to be on a team where he could be more of a contributing factor, and that's just the bottom line. I don't know if he would have gotten those same accolades in Philadelphia. I think he would have taken a back seat to some of the other receiving options that they got, whether they're running backs or tight ends or other receivers. I just think that now he's with a team where he's going to get a chance to be more explosive. They're going to utilize him a whole lot more. They're going to do some things with the guy. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more NBA. And like I said, I feel like the NBA is in worse shape than it is. I don't know if they're going to ever get the situation going. But it's something to talk about. It's definitely something to talk about a little bit. So we're going to do that. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. And that is the bottom line. Get ready for a power trip. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We got about 30 more minutes left of airtime. We're on air till 9 p.m. Want to get back to the main topic of the night, the NBA talk. Before we do that, we got some runners. Get back to updating some scores real quickly. The game on ESPN right now, the Knicks are pounding the Nets 63-38. That game, for the third quarter, is just getting ready to get started. The Nets got some serious work to do. Cleveland, they're up big on Orlando, 82-60. Pacers are leading the Pistons 56-50. Third quarter just started there. Charlotte Bobcats are pounding 76ers 74-49. That game is about halfway through the third quarter. Washington is beating up on Boston at home 68-52. That game is in the third quarter as well. Most of these games are in the second and third quarter, mostly the third quarter. Toronto is beating Houston 66-57. That game is in the third quarter. We got the Chicago Bulls beating Atlanta 54-47. If you're the Knicks, you got to be loving that right now. That game is in the second. They're approaching halftime shortly. Miami is pounding Milwaukee 49-31. That game is in the second quarter. They're approaching halftime there as well. And the Memphis Grizzlies and Minnesota Timberwolves are both tied at 20 apiece at the end of the first quarter. And later on tonight, we got the Golden State Warriors taking on the San Antonio Spurs at 8:30. Check your local listings for that game. 9 p.m., we have New Orleans and Denver. And 10 p.m., we got the two L.A. teams on the road, the Lakers at Sacramento and the Clippers at Phoenix. That's a must-win for the Phoenix Suns. They're trying to hang on to one of those two spots in the playoffs. The Clippers, they're pretty much in there, but they're trying to continue their winning ways as well. That Golden State San Antonio game is going to be a good one. That should be a good one. That should be a really, really good one. And the Lakers and Sacramento, nobody really cares about it because it's not playoff talk or anything, but, you know, that's always an interesting matchup between those two teams. And just getting back into this whole NBA system, I coincide with Charles Barkley completely when he talked about the NBA is worse now than it's ever been. Because it is all about ratings. It is all about nothing but endorsements and players getting big-time paychecks and stuff. I think back to when the NBA used to be really, really competitive. I look back to the 90s, and I talked about this earlier. I touched on the subject when I said Michael Jordan playing on those Bulls teams, and back then it was more about winning. Yeah, Mike had endorsements. He had shoe contracts and stuff, but Mike cared about winning more than anything else. And when they lost, he was mad. Go back to when Michael and the Bulls struggled to get by the Bad Boy Pistons and the Celtics, and they had to go up against Dominic Wilkins Hawks, and when they lost those games, Michael was pissed. He used to laugh shout at his teammates and even coaches in the locker room. And he had every right to feel that way. Every right to feel that way. And I feel like back then you had some great phenomenal teams. You had even teams who didn't win. You had the Supersonics with Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, Shaq when he was with the Magic, and then going over to the Lakers, getting the Lakers back to respectability. Then you had guys like Glenn Rice when he played with the Charlotte Hornets, Grant Hill with the Pistons, the Hawks when they had guys like Dikembe Mutombo, Utah Jazz, you know, when they were going to the finals, when they were in the postseason, the Phoenix Suns when they had Jason Kidd. Of course, the Houston Rockets winning those two championships in the middle of the 90s, you know, when they had guys like Hakeem and Drexler and, you know, just so many names on those teams. But back then, it was more competitiveness than anything. The only thing fancy about what was going on back then was shoe contracts and fancy jerseys. That's pretty much what it was, you know. But the bottom line is that basketball really meant something back then. It did. If I grew up as a kid watching today's NBA, I would be totally frustrated. I would be disgusted with what I'm watching. I don't like what the NBA has become, and I got a feeling it's only going to get worse way before it ever even attempts to get better. And I'm just not feeling that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not with it. And I think that the NBA, the league, the guys running the company should man up and face responsibility for what has been transpired. David Stern is no longer a part of this. Fix his mistake. Okay. And I also think that the league should just kind of change its image a little bit. And maybe doing things like, you know, telling players that, you know, they need to be in college a certain number of years before they really think about coming into the draft. You don't want a whole bunch of young players coming in and trying to take the league by storm and they're not ready. That's why I've seen so many draft busts in the NBA over the years. I don't know too many players right now that have really, that have been drafted in the last 5 years and that have really come aboard and took the league by storm. There's not a whole lot of guys doing that right now. It's not. Derrick Rose has been banged up. Russell Westbrook has been good, but he's been banged up a little bit. You know, but you got guys like Kyrie Irving, Paul George, Roy Hibbert. You know, those guys have come aboard and have really started to do some things. But I think it's going to come down to a whole lot more than that. All right? I also think that it should be more about, it should be more influenced by the players. Players should decide games, not officials. So I say to guys like Dick Pavetta, Joey Crawford, officials who I really don't like and never did like, and if I had my way, I'd punch them dead in their faces, both of them. You know. But I honestly feel like something should be done with the league. Something should be done with the league. And I feel like it's only going to get worse before it even attempts to get better. And I don't like what I'm seeing. It's just so disappointing to see what's been portrayed in the league. And to me, it starts with LeBron. I put him on that list as one of the things, reasons the NBA has gone to where it is now. I said it, and I'm not afraid to say that. I don't care what anybody else thinks about that. You got too many people kissing up to guys like that. And it's an issue. It's a serious issue. A very serious issue. And like I said, I've been wanting to touch on the subject ever since 2 years ago, where I first began this radio show. I never really got around to talking about it, but I'm glad that I'm able to now. And I feel like the league is only gonna—it's gonna be in a situation where pretty soon nobody's gonna want to watch basketball. There came a time where growing up, whether you grew up watching the NBA in the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, when the season started, you were looking forward to it. You were happy. Now, I know people who are more excited about baseball than basketball. I know people who are more excited about college sports as opposed to the pros, particularly basketball. More people, I can tell you, will watch March Madness more and they'll watch the NBA Finals or the NBA postseason period. See, now I feel like Adam Silver has got a big amount of weight on his shoulders. And it's going to come down to what he's going to do and what he's going to try to do to get the NBA back to more respectability. And I feel like he's got a lot of work to do. A whole lot of work to do. And that's just the bottom line. That's just the bottom line. Say what you want. You know, you can feel whatever way you want to. But it's the truth. It's the damn truth, man. only going to get worse before it gets better. You're going to hear me say that quite a bit on this show and in future shows, perhaps. I just don't like what the NBA has become. And even with the Lakers winning 2 championships in the last 5 years, I still don't like what the league has become. I still don't like it. It's basically laughable. It's kind of sickening. It's kind of frightening. A lot of those negative words out the dictionary. That's kind of how I look at the whole thing. So, you can crucify me as much as you want to, but that's how I feel about the whole situation. Okay? And that's just the bottom line. So, I completely agree with what Charles Barkley has been saying. I completely agree with him. Completely agree with him. And I feel like the NBA is going to take a major hit in these next few years. Mark Cuban came out and said that in 10 years the NFL is going to lose a lot more credibility. Well, the NBA is going to lose twice as much credibility, my man. That is the truth. That is the damn truth. And so that's just the way I feel about it. I feel like the NBA is worse now than it's ever been. So with that being mind, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap the show up. I'm going to let you know about my upcoming whereabouts and things like that. And, you know, just add a few more finishing touches on this particular subject. And update the NBA real quickly with some scores and stuff, as well as the MLB and the NHL. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're going to take a quick break on blogtalkradio.com. We will be right back. welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We got about 10 more minutes, and I just wanted to get to the end of the show real quickly and update some scores. We're going to go to the NHL first real quickly. The New York Islanders are still up 1-0 over the Ottawa Senators at the end of the second period, so they got one more period to go. Boston Bruins are currently up on the Detroit Red Wings 1-0. That game is at the end of the first. And coming up tonight, we got the Edmonton Oilers against the Anaheim Ducks. That game takes place at 10 p.m. We also got the Phoenix Coyotes against the Los Angeles Kings. That game will take place at 10:30 p.m. To quickly update baseball real quickly, we already know about the games that have gone final. That St. Louis and Cincinnati game is still delayed. Like I said, I'm not so sure if that game's going to take place at all tonight, but not. Some of the other games that are currently in progress, we got Boston Red Sox up 4-2 over the Baltimore Orioles. We got the Washington Nationals up 3-1 over the New York Mets. Toronto is up 2-0 on Tampa Bay. And by the way, the Red Sox and Orioles, that game is in the seventh inning. And the Nationals-Mets game, as well as the Rays and the Blue Jays, are both in the sixth inning. The Yankees are still down. They're losing to the Houston Astros 1-0. That game is in the second inning. Right now, the Chicago Cubs are losing in Pittsburgh 1-0. They just retired Sai, so they're not going into the bottom of the sixth inning. And the Colorado Rockies are up 6-1 over the Miami Marlins. They're in the middle of the fifth inning. And the Philadelphia Phillies are currently up 1-0 over the Texas Rangers. They're currently in the bottom of the second inning. And coming up later tonight, we have a doubleheader. About 10 more minutes, we got the Cleveland Indians against the Oakland A's in the second of their doubleheader after the game was postponed on Tuesday. We have Seattle against the Los Angeles Angels. That game will be taking place at 10:05 p.m. At 9:40 p.m., we have San Francisco against Arizona. And at 10:10 p.m., we have the L.A. Dodgers against the San Diego Padres. So right now, currently updating some NBA scores real quickly. We have right now the game on ESPN between the Nets and the Knicks. The Nets are trying to make it a game a little bit, but they're still down big. They're losing 72-65. That game is currently in the third quarter. We got the Pistons surprisingly up on the Pacers right now, 70-69 in the third quarter. The Pistons had already beat the Pacers on the road earlier this season. These two teams faced each other about 2 weeks ago. It's a game that I haven't forgotten, and I probably won't forget for the rest of the season. The Pistons were up 25 points in the third quarter. Andre Drummond got hurt. They go up by 25, and they end up losing. Yeah, that's been the theme of the Pistons this year, losing games in the third and fourth quarters. Cleveland is currently up 96-71 in Orlando. Charlotte, they're up big, still on Philadelphia, 88-63. Washington, they're still up big on Boston, 89-62. Toronto, they're up in a close one against Houston, 88-80. And all those games are in the third quarter. Actually, the Bobcats and Sixers game is the fourth quarter game ready to start, and the Cleveland-Orlando game, the fourth quarter just started. Chicago is up in Atlanta, 57-49. That game's at half. And Miami is up big on Milwaukee, 56-38. That game is also at the half. And Minnesota is up against Memphis, 40-34. That game is in the second quarter. The Warriors' first game just kicked off. They're halfway through the first quarter. The Spurs are up 14-6. Coming up, we got New Orleans and Denver coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes. And like I said, we have the two L.A. teams, both the Clippers and Lakers, both on the road tonight. The Lakers will be at Sacramento, and the Clippers will be at Phoenix. Those games will take place at 10 p.m. As we come into a conclusion, I wanted to take this opportunity to tell everybody, yes, just because I'm not too big on the NBA like I used to doesn't mean you shouldn't have to. Enjoy the games, you know. Enjoy what you're watching and, you know, root for your favorite teams. Root for your favorite players. Do what you want. You know, do as you please. Do as you feel. Okay? I just think that it's a situation that needs to be at least talked about, needs to be resolved. And I feel like it's only going to get worse before it even comes close to getting better. That's pretty much the way I've looked at the situation. And if I had my way, I would fix things up without hesitation. But anyway, that's just something for y'all to think about. And as we are coming to an end of our broadcast, I just want to take the opportunity to once again thank everybody. Big ups to all the comics who Rocket graced the stage with last night at the New Dodge Bar in Hamtramck. Tomorrow night, yours truly will be at Laugh Tracks for the Rising Stars Showcase. Showtime is at 8 p.m. Laugh Tracks Comedy Club is located off of Beck Road by Pontiac Trail. It's right down the street from Wild Lake Western, right across the street from the Village Apartment, from the Village Apartment Complex, and it's located inside the Breaktime Billiards Bar. So if you're familiar with the area, if you've ever been out there, or if you would like to come out there, please feel free, come on through, get Rocket up with more detailed information. He'll be there tomorrow night. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to gracing the stage. It's not often I get to do two shows in 1 week. So you got to take advantage of the situation. So you're going to see yours truly at Laugh Tracks a whole lot more often again. And next Monday, Rocket is expected to take the comedy stage at the New Way Bar in Ferndale. Was going to go this week, but due to scheduling conflicts, that didn't happen. And on April the 27th, if you haven't marked this down on your calendar, please do so. I will be performing in a stand-up comedy contest. More information will be projected within the coming weeks, so be on the lookout for that. Chance to win $175. So, hey, not often that I get to compete in contests like that and come close to even winning. But anyway, so that's what yours truly has going on. Got a few movies that are going to be coming out this year. And if you haven't seen Need for Speed yet, it's been out for a few weeks now, please go see it. It's out. I appeared as an extra in that movie. I was happy. I was blessed with the opportunity. Please go and check the movie out. Well, we're coming to an end of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. And once again, I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight, whether you called in, whether you're too scared to call, or you were multitasking like Rocket is and always does, and you had other things that you had to do. Catch yours truly back on air again next Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m., this is what we do. In the meantime, Rocket Nation, thanks for all your support. Take care of yourselves. Get ready for a power trip. See you next time.